useless or decrepit or it must not have any value to anyone, or no one can possibly relate to this. But I say, you know, look at the artists in the past. Like, let me give you I'll give you an example of two artists that have proven this to be wrong. The Buena Vista Social Club? Come on.
Oh, yeah.
People were in their 70s and 80s, at least. And I'll give you another example that people may not even be paying attention to, but if your eye is keen and aware, you're going to know where I'm coming from, and you're going to realize, and if you think like that, and it's okay to admit to think like that, but Iron Man came out, and Jon Favreau was getting all kinds of crap because Robert Downey was 10 years too old to play Stark. This is what they were saying. And Favreau fought for it. He said, you don't understand. This guy is the perfect Stark. There is no other Stark. He was born to play this role. See, and that's what I keep telling people. When someone says something to you and tries to create this talking point, or try to create this excuse or this scapegoat of why someone isn't of value, don't buy it, and always stand your ground, and always explain to people how someone is an institution, or if a group's an institution.
Right.
And just do that. I mean, you never realize who you can be affecting. You never realize what doors will open, what you'll influence, what you'll inspire. It really is something that a lot of people take for granted every single day. And I think the more and more we talk about that, John, I think what happens is the more and more we become aware of that, and the more and more we realize, wow, we really do have a power that is untapped, and it may be anonymous, but it's still something to appreciate and to realize, yes, we do have an influence, and yes, we do matter.
Yeah, and especially when it comes to music, this idea that you somehow get past your use-by date,
yeah,
I think is insane. I think that's absolutely insane. And a great example of that was, you know, last week I did that show in honor of Humphrey Littleton, you know. And here's this guy that, you know, for, you know, the most recent generations would primarily know him from doing this comedy show. But because he's, like you said, an institution...
Yeah.
People then, young people then find out about, oh, wow, he's like one of our most important jazz musicians. And there were tons of tributes on the BBC site of young people under 25 saying that it was because of Humph that they looked at jazz, something outside of what they're fed, and found themselves something that they could truly love, and they went... And then they were spurned to go and actually see the man at 83 or 85, still playing with his band, and you know that, you know, institutions become institutions for good reason normally, and you know to say that they've got a use by date is insane. You're probably throwing away their best material.
I'll tell you what's the most cancerous is it's got to be the most cancerous in the visual media and TV and movies. Oh my God! Just the example I gave you alone, the fact that Downey, a powerhouse talent, he's been through the depths of hell and back, and he gives a riveting performance, and then they still say, yeah, but he's 10 years too. Well, look now, bitch! I mean, look how much he makes in 1 week.
And. You know, legitimate reviewers are giving outstanding reviews for the film because of Downey and the subtext about the American Industrial Complex.
Do
you think that would have been able to be played as effectively by a 25-year-old? I don't think so.
I just wanted to touch on two other things. I'm actually going to give a plug, actually. The first plug that I'm going to give for something that I'm involved in. But the first thing I'm going to talk about is something that's going to, John, you're going to love this. I am building it up a little bit, yeah. But it's called Idiomag.com. Idiomag. I was just turned on to this by the designer. He eyed me. He's like, you got to see this site. It's like, all right, I'll look at it. because he sends me a lot of links, and I'm like, yeah, whatever. So, so you know those types.
I know how that goes.
And wait, just for people who, here's IM etiquette for people. When you are typing something and you message someone, don't just say dude. Say what you want to ask. you're fine that way. you know what I mean, John? Yeah, you know what
yes,
I mean.
Yes, I do.
People, I mean, I don't understand how they're not aware of it. But anyways, back to what I was talking about.
I'm at idiomag.com now.
Yes, idiomag. What you do is you can create your own virtual music magazine at your fingertips just by bands you're interested in. Now, here's what it does. All of the bands that you're interested in, all of the artists that you're interested in, if you have them listed in your profile, it will create kind of like a news generator where it will put up articles from the whole entire web that it scours and searches for. So every day, if there's a new article of an artist you're interested in, it's going to be on your Idiomag page.
Right. I'm trying it out now. I've just entered Tool and Days of the New to see what it comes up with.
Oh, you're testing it now with the Days of the New. Yeah.
I figured that would be a test.
Yeah. So idiomag.com, I really recommend, and I hope people enjoy it, and tell John, give him a call, get out of your bed. Yeah, I know it's midnight, but give him a call sometime at midnight and tell him what you found for news and artists and stuff like that, and maybe just give us a idea on what Idiomag is, how Idiomag is working for you. And if you don't like it, hey, mention that too.
Yeah, I'm going to check it out. It unfortunately started auto playing in my headphones here once it opened up my results with the Tool interview. I'm sitting there trying to keep in line with what you're saying, and meanwhile I hear Maynard whispering to me in the background. But that looks like a really, really cool site. I kind of dig that. Could be a great way to find information on bands you've lost touch with as well.
Right. I got two more links, and then I'm gonna let you get to your news stories.
All right, man.
The other link is you guys got to go to this. If you're like saying, well, I'm not interested in music and I'm not interested in Trent Reznor and I don't like no emo band either. Well, if you're not interested in any of that, this you'll be interested in it. It's Brad Pitt's site is really impressive. Have you seen it lately?
No, I don't think I've ever been there.
It's really evolving, John. And what I mean is evolving. He has an interactive donation chart where it shows the latest donators and their names and what they're contributing. And how much. It shows, if you go to makeitrightnola.org, that's the website, makeitrightnola.org, all one word together, N-O-L-A. What you'll see is you see an actual chart of the house that is currently, the charities that are coming in for that house. So he's made it in a way where every house he kind of puts up on the site, so they go from one house to the next for bringing in the donations, and people are kept track of it on a minute-to-minute basis of what happens with this with this charity. And I think it's a really impressive site, and it shows they put a lot of work into it. And Brad is seriously surprising me with how far he's going with this, and I think people should check the site out and. I hope you get something from it and realize that when I saw that, John, seriously, that's the kind of thing that Head On Radio needs to have for their donation chart. That kind of just puts it right there, right in front of you, and you're just like, wow.
I've considered trying to figure out how to write an API.
Yeah.
Where people, when they make a donation via PayPal, check, you know, a little box saying, do you mind if we list your name and donation?
Yeah.
It's definitely something that I would like to do, because you can write that kind of stuff, and that's how I reckon he's done it. via just writing a PayPal API for it.
Right.
But now see that's brilliant stuff, because it's giving back to people who are throwing down instant information, and they can directly, you know, kind of connect their money to what's going on. And considering, you know, the disaster that was made of New Orleans, it's a brilliant thing to do. And I know that he's really been one of the people leading the charge on trying to, you know, resurrect New Orleans.
Right. And I just think a lot of people you'll be seriously inspired when you see what you can do when you put your mind to it. Even if you're a Hollywood actor like Brad, even if you're cynical on that, that'll erase a lot of your cynicism away when you see that. Because usually, I mean, a lot of people put up, like, I'll be honest with you, a lot of generic charity sites, and there's no information, there's no contact, it's just no updates, and there just isn't that much passion into it, you know? And I think with this, it shows a serious passion, it shows a serious attention to detail, and so makeitrightnola.org. That's another link that you know, out of all of those, John, I would say make it right. If you can only check one link, if we have some people who are really frugal with their links, I understand that. Go to makeitrightnola.org, and I think you'll be pleasantly surprised by what you see.
Yeah, I'll definitely check that. I'll definitely check that out. You know, when you mention people being frugal about their bandwidth and whatnot, every time I ever see an advertisement for some phone deal saying, you know, and 2 gigabytes fast internet per month, and I'm sitting there going, geez, 2 gig, I'd be going through that in like 2 days. I couldn't imagine having that little space. I've got an 80 gig limit on my connection.
and now finally, I'm it's the last bit. This is a plug for my site. I'm part of a site called FudgeFM.com. And we don't really know where it's going right now, but it's been up a month. And what we do is we take a lot of creative artists involved in hip-hop, soul, electronic, and a lot of the DJs and musicians, and a lot of the people who are of the upper tier of musician class who aren't getting any love or credit. And what we do is we don't give them any catches at all. We say, you can promote your stuff on here for free. And we're trying to build it into something that people haven't seen before. If you go to the site, fudgefm.com, you can see, and you're interested in that kind of stuff, in that kind of culture, what we do is we have a blog page where every artist, if they put something up, we'll put it up on the front page, and they can get the promotion or the reaction from it that they want, or just the traffic. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to bridge that gap of interactivity on different levels, because also on the site we have a lot of podcasts of different DJs in their mix shows. Like one of the DJs we have up, he's a legend. His name's Barry King. He's so dangerous that even Giles Peterson of BBC Worldwide, he listens to him, and this is how it works in the business. And Benji B, they listen to him, but these guys will not share the name out there for whatever reason. I mean, whether it's bitterness or jealousy or whatever, but Barry King puts it down on the decks, and he has a passion for stuff. There's also, we have a drummer named Daru Beats, who's He's won drum center challenges, a guitar center, and we just try to get, whether it's a vocalist, it's a programmer, it's a designer, or something. What we do is we profile them, and we're hopefully going to get a deal with either satellite radio or 24/7 stream, and we'll have a lot of sponsorship, and it's going to be something that's going to constantly evolve. And like I said, John, we've only had it up for a month. And my friend who designed it, who's an amateur, and if you look at that, that'll give you an idea of using. I'll tell you the template for those people interested who are looking at it right now and listening and going, "Wow, this is impressive." And I agree with you; it is impressive. And it's Ning.com, which is how you can build your own network, your own portal site, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
Really, Ning.com, John. I'm to tell you, I think I mentioned this to you before, but hopefully Bob's listening to this too. Ning.com. I'll put it to you simply, is the truth. MySpace is garbage. Not so much the people on it and the spam and stuff like that. That is obviously garbage, but what Ning.com does is it opens the doors to how you can create your own vision of something that you never thought you could create. And you don't have to have that kind of programming expertise or that kind of background. It's whatever you can think in your mind, whatever you can visualize, you can realize on this. And Ning is getting, I'm serious about the Ning.com, it'll do wonders for you. I can only imagine what it would do if you guys put Head on Radio Network and you use the Ning template. I mean, oh my God.
Bob's saying he goes to Ming.com and he gets the personal homepage of a chef.
Ming? Maybe, I think it's
yeah.
Ming.
Might be .org.
Oh,
what? M-I-N-G
wow,
or?
I am. Ming.org. I don't know. It's you know what? Just do.
We'll find it.
That's
what bloody Google's for.
But yeah. Fudge FM is the thing that I'm part of, and one last thing before I go, I'll keep you guys updated of new artists and new DJs, and maybe I can twist a DJ's arm, and maybe I can get them to host some of their mix shows in the late hours on Head On Radio. Who knows? Possibilities are endless. But
at the Fudge FM page, you've already got my attention because I can see a solar electrical generation plant photo right on the front page.
Oh, yeah. My friend, you know, he's a sound designer, and that translates over into the web as well. We're going to have our own customized video player, and like I said, it's not... We're not calling this social network. I don't know what you'd call it because it's going to be interactive on so many different levels. It's going to be like one of the most open blogs. We're already getting a considerable amount of buzz in the communities right now, and we're getting a lot of people to join. And there's a lot of potential here. In fact, a lot of the artists. I'm still busy recruiting. I'm getting a sax player named Chris Green from Chicago. He's a music educator, and hopefully we'll have him on the site. And basically, what
awesome.
It is it's gonna be impressive in a few months down the line. I'm looking forward to it, and I hope you check it out and tell me what you think, John. The other thing I wanted to mention, I have to mention this. I kind of sound like a promoting whore for this one. If I didn't sound for FM. Wait till you hear this one. But, yeah, I don't get paid for mentioning these links, people. I know, it's a bummer. But I have to ask, John, have you heard the Al Green album yet?
I haven't had time. I have
not had time.
Oh, man. I am going to listen to it. I have been so unbelievably busy. It is, like... on my list of next things to sit, the next thing I have to sit down and listen to. I just have not had time, and I knew you were going to whip me about that.
No, I'm not going to whip you about it, but I'll tell you the influence, the impact that you can have on something like that, on just like, if you feel something passionate. Bob read something on the air that Patrick said, because of what I said, and the passion that I had for this album, and he hadn't heard from me speak of something like this musical piece, like a musical album before, he decided to go search for it himself on the web, and he was blown away by it too. So
yeah, I heard that call, so it just reminded me that I have to listen to it soon.
yeah, you do. I mean, and that, your engineering background, John, and the fact that the drumming on this, oh my Lord, and the horns and the organ and the piano and the guitar. The guitar work and just the vocals. But anyways, yeah, Al Green's album, Al Green's new album coming out May 19th. Oh, I forgot the name of it. What the hell is the name of that album? Oh man.
I'm looking.
Lay It Down. There we go. There it was. It was just, you know, just a little brain reflex. Yeah, so, John...
I call it something different, but...
Yeah. Anyways, John, I guess that's all I got this evening. And
all right, mate. Well,
move on to
I'll be
story.
Checking out all these sites. Yeah, I'll be checking out all these sites. You know, not like you, not to bring, you know, more than I can handle to the program. So, but
yeah.
always appreciate it, mate. And we'll talk to you very soon, man. And thanks for all that. And we'll try and get all these links up somewhere. And I'll get a link to your project over on my sites for sure.
All right, thanks a lot, man.
All right, mate. Take care of yourself. Our good friend David from Maine, and you just never know what's going to happen when he rings up, and you know, our pop culture correspondent, and you know, see how fast things happen. You know, you mentioned Free Nine Inch Nails, and immediately Juggernaut in the chat room is all over it, going Free Nine Inch Nails. it's all good. Now, where the hell was I before David rang up? Oh yeah, Monsanto. After playing that silly little track, which has way more truth in it than you really want to admit. But one of my favorite sites, and I do believe Gene sent this to me, Celsius, which you can find at CELSIAS.com, and there's a link to this on today's show post over at foxed.headonradionetwork.com, and it just says, pay Monsanto or starve. And who wrote this one? Oh, this is Craig McIntosh, or McIntosh. I'm not exactly sure how he pronounces it. But this guy is one of the best writers at Celsius. I think he also does some writing for Tree Hugger as well. But this piece goes back about a year, but nothing's really changed. And he opens it up saying, many have yet to comprehend the implications of this continuing business trend to grow, merge, centralize, and consolidate. I hope the following will help. If these companies are to continue their takeovers and rule our planet, then shouldn't we consider what it will be like in their servitude? Depending on what part of the world we live, many of us get to vote our governments into office. The choices offered might not be ideal, but at least there's a semblance of democracy. But certain enormous corporations are gaining the power of governments, even over governments, and I haven't seen the ballot slip. Imagine yourself as a farmer. I know it's not easy since few do it anymore, but give it a shot. Picture yourself as a seasoned farmer on the Canadian prairies. You've been working your farm for 50 years with your wife at your side. Despite the difficulties of life and heavy pressures of ever-enlarging mechanized farms around you, you're still there. Then one day, you find a large seed and chemical company has filed suit against you because they found their genetically engineered plants on your land. First, you're wondering how representatives of this company came to be sniffing around your land without your knowledge or permission, and secondly, you're perplexed because you've never bought the seed they accuse you of using. In fact, you've deliberately avoided using such seed and have survived competition by saving your own, developing improved strains through the age-old process of natural plant breeding. Furthermore, despite their genetically modified seed having contaminated your own natural crop, an irreversible action with major long-term biological and financial implications for you and any farms around you. You find the courts are only interested in protecting the rights of the copyright holder of the seed, even while acknowledging that the seed may have blown in from neighboring fields or passing trucks. It turns out that it doesn't matter how the seed got into your property or whether or not you knew it was there. It's on your land, so you have to pay. From Percy Schmeiser's website, whether Mr. Schmeiser knew of the matter or not matters, knew of the matter or not matters, not at all, said Roger Hughes, a Monsanto attorney quoted by the Western Producer, a Canadian agriculture magazine. It was a very frightening thing because they said it does not matter how how it gets into a farmer's field. It's their property, Schmeister said in an interview with Agweek. If it gets in by wind or cross-pollination, that doesn't matter. Are you infuriated yet? Well, yes. I'm always infuriated when it comes to the issue of Monsanto and owning the building blocks of life. Most farmers are too busy with the day-to-day tasks of trying to run their farms. So risking bankruptcy, losing everything they've worked for, by taking on a powerful corporate giant in the court is a decision most don't dare to make. But you decide that you're not going to take this lying down. You endeavor not only to defend yourself against their suit, but countersue for contaminating your fields. Even though you and your wife are on the verge of retirement, you could just roll over on this. You risk all and battle the giant in court. That's the story of Percy Schmeister. Schmeiser? You can read all about it. They've got links. Percy didn't lose the farm, but the court results to date are far from ideal. Is it just me, or is there a serious backward legal perspective here? I mean, if I throw a rock at your window and then file suit against you for keeping it, you'd think I'm barmy, yes? But no. Industry influence has somehow skewed legal thinking into a wonderland that even Alice wouldn't visit. Shouldn't the corporation be fined for not keeping their genetically modified seeds within their own borders? And shouldn't the farmer be compensated for the loss of purity of his non-GM crops? If we continue to follow this way of thinking, where will this end? And where is the concern about the inability of GM farmers to contain these seeds? Ecological issues aside, as alarming as they are, these seeds are blowing all over the place and are making the whole world a potential captive market for the seed companies. Pollen and seeds are uncontrollable, and at the moment, the lucky recipient must surrender to the demands of the company, essentially becoming a legally obliged subscriber to a service not only never asked for, but that operates on a biological and economic philosophy that they may wholly reject. I mean, this is insane. This is absolutely insane. The logic of all of this, it just goes against reason. It absolutely goes against all reason. And I kind of have gotten back on the Monsanto thing recently because just recently, New South Wales, the state government here, this corrupt, mafiistic bunch of soprano acting just louts, have decided to reverse the ban on GM crops in Australia to allow, for the first time ever, genetically modified soy to be produced in this country. Now, one of the beautiful things about Australia is that it's an island. Unlike any other place in the world, this country can isolate itself and its ecosystem from many things that are affecting the rest of the world. Now, against public opinion, against all scientific advice, this government comes through and goes, nope, the crops is safe. We can have them. See, they're drought-resistant. You can have a drought-resistant canola plant. Well, as soon as, you know, and none of the other states have done this, so what happens now? Some guy, some farmer who's taken the bait, buys the Monsanto genetically modified seed, you know, the Roundup Ready stuff, the stuff that is impervious to their "we kill all plants" herbicide. Opens up a farm maybe on the southern border of New South Wales, which borders along with Victoria. The wind blows, and suddenly a crop that's still illegal in Victoria has cross-pollinated with the local crop. So in a place where the crop is illegal, would then Monsanto have the right, and I bet that they would, to demand payment for seed that these people never wanted. And Bob does remind me that, you know, canola is actually rape seed. You know, canola is a patented product, but the plant is actually the rape seed. And I always just wondered that, you know, rape seed sounded too sexual. So I always thought that that was the reason that we didn't use that term in the United States. Because someone said, that sounds dirty. That's what I think of the intellect of, never mind. But, you know, we have such a short-term view of the decisions that we make. And to not look further down the road than one or two growing seasons when it comes to issues like in what is still a GM-free part of the world, to introduce this. It's that once you do this, the cat is out of the bag. There is no turning back. Of any major corporation, this has got to be the one that pisses me off the most. You know, the song that I played earlier, you know, great little lines reminding you of, you know, the chemicals that Monsanto dumped during the Vietnam War. You know, remembering that Monsanto was a chemical weapons company. Okay? Thing that I always have to remind people of, this is not your good corporate citizen. This is a company that wants to own everything you eat. Period. They want to make it so that everything is licensed just like the music on your damn iPod. And you go to the Today's Show post, and you can see it also at Celsius. There's a great image that and this has been floating around for ages. I don't even remember where it originates from, and it says, Monsanto, no food shall be grown that we don't own. And that is what they're up to. They want to own it all. And once a people lose their food security, all is lost. All is lost. Because, food, you know, we can talk about military security, and we can talk about internet security, and we can talk about all this other stuff. But when you get down to it, the most important securities we need are food and water. And air. You know, that helps too. Breathing's good. Lilo says, but John, they're reorganized. They're now a food company. Yeah. They, you know, these people have been falsifying test documents for decades. These people have been lying to us for decades. Just because they changed the spin, and believe me, I'm not taking issue with you, Lilo, in the chat room. I'm being sarcastic, just like your comments dripping with sarcasm there in the chat room. When they spin themselves as being a food company, that has nothing to do with it. It all has to do with owning everything you eat. Just like Coca-Cola's marketing system is making sure that they have a product for every time you think you want to drink something. So if you want milk, they have a milk kind of product for you to drink. You know, you want water, they have bottled water made with local water that they have rights to before the citizens of the community where the bottling plant is, and they get to profit off of that. You know, it just goes on and on and on. You can actually find online, I've seen this, it was a couple of years ago, a copy of Coca-Cola's marketing plan. It was being used as a teaching vehicle at the universities, and I saw people on the trains heading to uni and business people actually reading this report. And I remember shaking my head at someone, and they're going, what? And I said, that is some of the most evil shit I have ever read in my life. And they're going, and you know, people in suits go, oh, but it's brilliant. And I go, it's about market control. It's about food. It's sexing up water to make people feel justified in buying something that they should be able to get for free out of the tap without creating a whole bunch of shitty bottles clogging up our waterways, our landfills, And my favorite thing going around at the moment is